Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So now we're going to talk about how to pass the driving test. And it's not just about getting the theory answers right and driving well on the day. There's a lot of cost associated with it. There are long delays in some parts of the country and there are choices to be made between manual and automatic. Then there's the cost of the car itself and the insurance on top of that. And also today we hear that the driving testers say they want all cars used in the test to have proof that they've passed the NCT. So Michael Sheridan, who's a motoring journalist, joins me in the studio, along with Kevin Morgan, Director of Training at the Ladybird Driving School. You're both very welcome. Thank you. And if any listeners have questions, 51551. So Kevin, 17 is the minimum age for driving. Will you talk to me a little bit about the process? So you do the theory test first, don't you? And then you have to do a minimum of 12 lessons.
Yeah, so you do the theory test. At 16 you can actually do it, but you can't drive till you're 17, right? When you've passed the theory test, you'll do 12 EDT lessons, which can be spread out over 3 months, 4 months. The RSA guideline is 6 months, so one lesson every 2 weeks.
What's EDT now?
Essential Driver Training.
Okay.
So it's a mandatory course of 12 lessons. You know, it's a basic beginner course to get you proficient in the basic aspects of controlling a car. But the problem then is, how do they develop them skills? They need a support lesson, a sponsor lessons. They need assistance in that side of things, which costs money. And this is where we're gone now. It's gone to a pricing thing that they're being priced out of their own market because cars have gone up 40%, fuel costs, and they're choosing, what should I do here if I don't have a sponsor after I've done the 12?
Because the 12 lessons, they're not going to get you to the standard, are they, where
Definitely
you're
not.
Passing the test?
Definitely not. And we're lowest in Europe when it comes to the amount of lessons. Germany are 25 on road, and they're dealing with skid pans, motorway, dual carriageway. We're barely out of the blocks here on the 12, and they're presenting for the test after the 6 months. And just, it's not happening at the moment. And they can't. So, you know, before the parents were able to have the insurance and help them that way. Now parents can only have one insurance. Maybe the kids can't afford the car, can't afford the insurance. And they're just like my own neighbour. He wanted to buy a voucher for Christmas for his son, for his grandson. And he said, look, granddad, I can't afford the car because the car could be taken off me. I don't even have a driver to go with me. And everything has gone up 40%. So I'll just pass for a while on the driving.
So they're making decisions now at that age that they're going to delay
driving. And CarsOn did a great survey recently in November 22, and 72% of 70 to 24-year-olds don't own a car.
Well, that probably is the climate change ambition anyway, to reduce the number of cars on the road. So, Michael, when 17, 18, 19-year-olds and their parents are looking at driving as the next step, are they all keen to get into an automatic now? Because that's much easier.
It's much easier in an automatic. I mean, remember, we were reminiscing about watching movies and you'd see sort of 16-year-old Americans getting into their car and driving off. Because all of their cars are automatic, their roads are huge, and they only ever drove a car forward. It never went in reverse at all, so it was very easy. The trend now among newer cars is to be hybrid. If they're electric cars, they're all automatic. If a car is fully hybrid, it's automatic. Mild hybrids will still have a gear stick, and most cars on sale are still manual cars. And the second-hand car that people will be able to afford for the next number of years will still be manual. So it is important, I think, if somebody is doing their test, to do it in a manual. But that said, it's so expensive to go through the whole test process. And if you can afford it, going automatic is fine. Now, you'll be restricted to driving an automatic car on your license, but you'll actually have no desire to drive a manual car because you'll be clueless as to how to make it work.
Yeah.
Because there's sort of two stages when you're learning to drive. One is controlling the vehicle or understanding how to shift this ton and a half of metal around the place with the steering wheel. It's crazy. And then the second part, the most valuable part, is observing and using the road safely. So anything that makes life easier in the car will be appreciated. And hybrids, EVs, they're all automatic. So you have basically a go pedal, a stop pedal and a steering wheel. So
yes,
they're much easier to control.
Easier. And Kevin, do you like to see people coming to you at 17 or 18 saying, show me how to drive this automatic car?
Yeah, well, so the youth are becoming more green conscious, and they're really aware of what's happening in terms of the shift towards green and environment. But the reality is that they've got to come back. Because when they price the pricing for the automatic cars and the fuel costs and the insurance, they're back to 90% are back training for manual, you know. So they want it, but it's a bit premature. It's a bit too early. We're probably a bit early for it in this country as well, I'd say. Just the automatic concept, the infrastructure is probably not there. We've only got one provider of ESP, which has a monopoly, wouldn't be great, I'd say. So, yeah, we're a bit off at the moment, but the youngsters are looking to go that way.
So when it comes to costs then, roughly what are we looking at for the 12 basic and essential lessons?
Yeah, so it ranges from anywhere from $450 to $750. Some providers are charging, right? And that's spread out over the 12 lessons. Automatic, maybe in line with that as well. Some automatics are charging $750. But it's not a lot compared to the lifetime of the recipient of the lesson. So, you know, for 40, 50 years, you're going to be driving, it's $750.
It's also not enough, though, to get you to the point where you're going to be able to pass your test.
Correct,
and
yeah.
And you need somebody else in the background helping you.
Yeah, correct. So the parallel there, again, around Europe, is that Germany would be around $2,900 for the same mandatory lessons. So we're way off in terms of pricing, but our mentality is just do the 12 and see how we get on, and I'll rock up for the test and I'll try and pass it, but it's not happening.
So in other countries they have a baseline of how many essential lessons?
25 in Germany, Poland is 25, Italy and Sweden and Norway, they're higher priced than us, around €2,000-€2,500 as well. So we're 6 or 7 down the list in terms of expense to for the lessons,
yeah.
Right? Cars and stuff like that, I'm not sure what prices that they're there in Europe. Spain is not as dear as Ireland, but we're not so expensive when it comes to getting on the road in Ireland. But since COVID, it has been more challenging for the youngsters.
Then, Michael, you have insurance costs for younger drivers, which are still very high.
Well, I suppose the key thing with the lessons is you're in a car that has insurance, so you don't have to have your own insurance when you're going through your compulsory lessons. Which is great. But any parent, and we've gone through this in our household, you're looking at €1,000, maybe €1,500 on top of your own car policy to put a novice driver onto it who can't drive on their own, has to be accompanied, is usually, you know, in a very controlled environment, when they're practicing and so on. So the costs are astronomical still. And even though Germany is a benchmark and the level of training, you can never have enough training. I still don't consider myself a fully trained driver, and I've got vast experience, but I'm still learning. Every day is a learning day. And we shouldn't just be learning to pass the test. We should be driving for life. We're learning all of the skills so you can drive anywhere in the world. And it's really important because, again, your loved ones, you want them to be as well trained as they can be so that they're as safe as possible. So there's none of this, it came from nowhere. You should be able to understand and observe all these things.
Yeah.
But the costs are huge, and it is turning people off driving. And it is a life skill, because if you go outside the canals of Dublin, a car is essential. Absolutely essential. And we're putting barriers constantly in the way of young people learning to drive and putting them off driving. And they need to, ideally, leave school with a driving license. Transition year should be all about learning to drive. You know, it's an important thing. I really think so. It's such a life skill.
You've also got the idea that parents are not instructors. They don't have pedals in their car.
Yeah. So,
and they're very terrible drivers.
You might get some weak learners who are quite poor, you know, and you they're very nervous going out under those. So the parents don't have control. So they're nervous at where they're, so they're keeping them in car parks, not giving them the training they need. And then they're coming back and thinking, oh God, I only did Dunstores car park. And they're on lesson 6.
And as it stands, then you do your test, you pass your test. You've never had any training on motorways.
Yeah.
You've never been accompanied by an expert driver, an expert instructor, to give you the heads up on how to use a motorway safely. Because most people then will lose confidence and they won't know why.
Terrified.
Because of some instant. And again, if they had simple training, they'd know a few of the basics, which would make life so much easier.
Listen, I have a lot of questions coming in, so let's have a look at some of those. My son failed his driving test on speed bumps. Everything else was perfect. So Kevin, can you advise, what is the correct speed if you're going over speed bumps?
Yeah, so there's various different styles and types and sizes of ramps, okay? You've got the cushion ramps, which are like in the shape of a cushion. You've got the full bus ramps, which are kind of less high. So a general rule would be 20 kilometres is a nice speed to go over them, but you'd need to be in 20 before the actual ramp. If you're changing on the ramp, it's gonna bump and it's going to jerk on you, right? So within the housing estates, they're designed to be higher, so 20 would be better, second gear. Some of the outer bus ramps could be 20, even 30, but as long as it's smooth and it's not affecting the performance of the driver in the car. The tester doesn't like being shook going over the ramp, basically. Some of them have back problems over the years.
Yeah, that is the trouble. The tester is human. So if you do a test in a sports car, it's got firmer suspension. If you do it in an SUV, it's got softer suspension, and it's better able to go over these bumps. So there's a human element in it. I failed my test the first time around.
Yeah, me too.
I went down a road and there was lots of potholes, and we were like bumping into potholes with a little Ford Fiesta, my mum's Ford Fiesta. And I said, there's a lot of potholes. The tester turned to me and said, I didn't ask you to drive in the potholes. I melted. That was me. Good luck. gone.
I'll bring you for assessment lessons after anyway. So you'll just to see how you're going.
No, look, I've had truck licenses, bike, motorcycle licenses, car licenses. I've driven on snow and ice and in deserts.
So he was saying to you, your job was to avoid the potholes.
Yeah. So it's a terrible, unnatural position to put yourself in. There isn't an adult here who would go and say, you're going to sit into your car, drive your car, and a stranger is going to just sit there and judge you. Mm-hmm. You go, it's a horrible situation to be in. But that's why preparation, training, instructors giving you the advance and the heads up and letting you know these variables can happen, just to keep you cool, because it's all about being safe on the road and observing what's going on and getting your passenger to where they need to be safely.
My son's test, as this listener, was stopped halfway through because my NCT was out of date. I had a test booked for months, but I was caught in the backlog. It was an awful day for him. He'd waited 2 years to get to this point due to COVID. And we know today, Kevin, the testers are saying they want all cars, understandably, to have passed the NCT, but that's going to be a problem because of the delays in both systems.
But we discussed this earlier. How can it be the case when if you have an NCT booked and you're driving on the road at the moment, a guard will let you on your way?
Yeah.
Because again, they're just being reasonable. This is being unreasonable. I think they're just taking it too far. The chance of a catastrophic mechanical failure of a vehicle during test is
negligible. I don't know. I can understand them wanting to be safe, you know, and the system, the NCT system should work.
It will wash out in a while because the distance between when you can book a test and get your test versus when you can book your NCT and get your NCT, that should be sorted because you'll be able to get your NCT quicker. Mm-hmm. It's just going to have an immediate impact over the next month or so on people who've maybe been driving on their parents' car. We're going to use their parents' car for a test, and the parents are driving it perfectly fine because they have a date for their NCT, which is further on from the test date.
So I'm sure they're looking at the legalities of it though as well. If the NCT is out of date and there was a collision or an accident, who's liable at that point?
But that's still the same with people on the road, and the RSA are saying this is fine if you've got a date booked.
And we have somebody else talking about the delays in getting the test. So this person is 31. I'm desperate for a driving test for work, and they've been waiting since January 24th. So where are we now? Coming up to the end of March. Mm-hmm. To even get past the waiting list in Galway, they've paid €500 for 12 lessons. They can't even get a test when we pay for that too. And is that pretty standard that you'll be waiting for a few months?
We had two pupils last week who applied and they went into the holding area on MyGov and they were told that they will, in around November of this year, they'll get a date, and that was for Tala.
What?
Yeah. So that's what happens. You get into a holding queue, if you like, and then a month before that, they'll tell you, okay, so now your test is the 25th of November. And you've got that period of time in which to prepare for your test, but they mightn't have driven in 6 or 8 months. Now they can't get lessons because the instructor's booked out as well, and it's imminent the test is on top. And this is what's happening, Claire. That's what the level that's happening. And then they're arriving way off the mark for the test, failing and going back. And I had a professional in one of the hospitals recently. He's failed 4 tests in the last 5 months. One after the other. Just can't practice, can't get the time. Keeps reapplying, thinking he'll get it this time.
Yeah, but isn't getting the time to do the lessons,
correct,
is that it?
Correct. But we,
that's shocking. That's nearly a year of waiting.
Yeah. Now it's worse in regional areas, like down in Portlaoise. Some areas are a lot worse than Dublin test centres, you know?
I have a clip here that I want to play. I heard this yesterday. It's if you have your headphones there, you'll hear it. This is the outgoing Scottish First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon, and she was speaking in a BBC podcast. Just listen to what she had to say.
How are the driving lessons going?
They're still in the early stages.
What's that about?
Driving lessons are about learning to drive.
I know, but why now?
Learning to drive back in the day was just one of the things I just never made the time to do because I was so focused on other things. Now, I don't know, it's maybe part of stepping down is it's just achieving a bit of personal freedom that I've chosen not to have to the same extent because I've been pursuing this thing. So it's just part and parcel of the next phase of life.
So Nicola Sturgeon, Kevin, has never learned how to drive. She's going to do it now. I'm sure you have people who come to you in their 50s, do you, saying, I'm going to just learn how to drive now, and how hard is it for them?
I'm sure if Nicola came to Dublin, we'd look after her in the lady world, you know?
Preferential rates.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, I think it's great. I think that anybody should have that ability to feel that I want a bit of freedom, no matter where it is or whatever career, if you're coming to the end, why not?
But is it harder to learn as you get older?
Well, we had a guy in Tralee, I think Marty Morris was talking about him on the afternoon show a few months ago. He was 84, he passed his test last year, right? So you know, there would be more, a little bit more nervous, a little bit more touchy, take a little bit longer maybe, but it doesn't stop. Remember, there's 250 learner permits over 8 years of age in Ireland. There's 1,500, 70 to 80, and 4,500, 60 to 70 learner permit holders in Ireland still driving around. So they're fine.
Now, again, for her, automatic, a hybrid would be perfect.
Yes.
And because what happens in most people's driving careers, they tend to end up in an automatic because it's easier to use. There's less coordination between the clutch. Clutches used to be very heavy as well, and shifting manual gears. You know, when the test was originally designed, cars were really primitive. You know, power steering was a luxury.
Michael means the knees give up when you
get the hips. Yeah, absolutely. So it can be a lot easier, and there's a lot more driving safety aids, and even things like a modern car could have an electronic handbrake, which has an automatic hill hold. So your hill start and your test becomes something which you don't have to worry about, because if you stop on a hill, you just press the brake, the car will hold itself, and when you want to move off, you just press the accelerator and off you go. So it can be easier. But the key thing with all driver training is, you know, mastery of the vehicle is one thing, but the ability then to use it properly and to observe and to know what it will do and what the weather conditions, road, weather, traffic, all of that thing, and how that impacts on your drive. That's the real life learning.
You are saying then that it's harder for people in their 50s to learn how to drive because you're advising her to go for the
automatic. Well, it can be
automatic.
Because again, the younger you are, the easier it is to master the machine, and even the stereotypes, there's a lot of truth in the stereotypes. You'll find a lot of young fellas will be brilliant, circus-like freaks in terms of their ability to control and be dynamic with the car and do all their all the stuff which they shouldn't be doing on the road. The worst thing with that is that they then have to cool their jets and learn how to drive the car responsibly and in a responsible manner. So you'll often find the young fellow will be a brilliant parker. He'll be great at manoeuvring the car. He'll be very good with the gears and so on. But he won't drive with the due care and consideration for other road users.
Right.
And they have to dial down their jets.
A lot of people are getting in touch saying their inability to get a date for the test is affecting their job. You know, they need it for the job and they can't get the test. Now, if you go to the test centre or get in touch with them, can you push it along a little bit, Kevin, if you say, I can't work unless I have this thing?
You can send them in an email of cancellation that you're willing to accept the cancellation, right? But they're in the same boat as thousands of others doing the same thing. But in the brilliance of the Department of Transport last year, they got rid of 60 testers, even though we had a huge backlog, and then they rehired 30. So we were seriously diminished in the amount of testing capacity that was in the test centres in the midst of a serious shortage of tests happening, and now we have more parallels coming along, which is now the NCT problem, affordability for the youngsters. So we're really not in a good place at the moment overall.
22. All right. Well, Kevin Horgan from Ladybird Driving School, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks,
and
Claire.
Michael Sheridan, motoring journalist. We'll be back after this break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.